It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you grow your e-commerce business faster and more efficiently by cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and guidance from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello, Masterplan world. Welcome to our latest podcast. It's a total pleasure to have you all out there listening. Thank you. I'm Chloe Thomas, the creator of the E-commerce Masterplan. I'm an author, I'm a speaker, and I'm an advisor. And I focus on e-commerce business strategy and marketing. Last episode, we caught up with Lindsay from Wines with Attitude, where she discussed how important a laser focus on her customers has been to her growth. As you all know, something that's very, very close to my heart. You can join in the chat in our Facebook group at ecommercemasterplan.com/Facebook or search for E-commerce Masterplan World on Facebook itself. And there you can join in the chat about everything we discussed with Lindsay and anything else that's going on in your e-commerce world. There's lots of us there ready to help you. This podcast is sponsored by DotMailer, the SaaS marketing platform that enables companies to create, test and send data-driven automated campaigns, which of course includes email marketing. If you go to dotmailer.com, you can get a free platform demo or a trial so you can find exactly what they're all about and how they could help you grow your business. And also in the resources library, you can get completely for free the latest edition of the must-read Hitting the Mark report. It is a tome of fantastic advice and tips and tricks and insight into what some of the biggest retailers on the planet are doing to maximize their email marketing income. All of that, the demos, the trials, and the reports are at dotmailer.com. Now let me introduce you to today's special guest. Georgina Hustler is the founder of Antique Rose and Maison Rustic, a pair of brick retail businesses in Wokingham. That's right, physical stores on a high street. Now they sell a mix of gifts, jewellery, home accessories and furniture, and Georgina is right in the middle of turning her bricks into clicks. That's right, she's in the process of launching those e-commerce websites. Everything started in 2008, and now combined turnover of the businesses is just under £500,000. Hello, Georgina.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Yeah, really good.
Excellent. Well, look, I've just given our listeners a really quick overview, quite an intriguing overview, I think, of you and your businesses and where you are at the moment. But how did you get started off in e-commerce?
Well, everybody who's got a bricks and mortar shop kind of wants to break into the e-commerce world. I think it's like the holy grail of having that shop, but it's also a completely different world. There is very little similarity other than the products in terms of what it's all about. So for me, I started dabbling in the e-commerce world a few years ago with my current website, where I just wanted to give my customers the ability to view my products online more than I was actually that worried about finding new customers or going into the e-commerce world in a big way. But it was time that people could actually view before they walked through the doors. And so I did that about 3 or 4 years ago. I set that up and set up my first site. And it was really, you know, more recently that I've really started to say, actually, I want to turn this into something that's a real business in its own right rather than just a bit of an add-on. And I've started working my way into to newer websites that are going to work better with SEO and hopefully expand my sales and help my high street bricks actually survive through these turbulent times.
Okay, cool. Well, look, let's cover off where both those businesses are online right now, and then we'll kind of get into a bit more of the journey, because I know we've got lots of listeners who are in that physical store space, who have played around with e-commerce or they want to do e-commerce, so I know there's gonna be a lot for us to talk about there. Which one do you want to start with? Do you want to start with Maison Rustic or Antique Rose?
Let's start with Antique Rose, because
okay,
that's the original.
Cool. So obviously you're selling in the UK. Let's clear that one up right now. In the UK, selling in the UK. What platform is Antique Rose on at the moment?
It's running on a templated system by a company called Intelligent Retail, who do my till system. So they basically offer to build your website from their template. It's not responsive. It's an old school sort of website in that regard. But I have got a mobile site which has been created, an old fashioned mobile site, so that it does work on a mobile. It's not completely useless in that context, but it's not brilliant on iPads. But the great thing about the system is that it does work alongside my stock system and my bricks and mortar store. So if somebody buys everything, every piece of, I don't know, a bath bomb in the shop, it will pretty instantly update online, so nobody can come online and then buy that and put us in a difficult situation.
So whilst it's not the website that's going to help you compete with, you know, the other people out there selling similar products, it is a website that's a nice, safe place to test out the e-commerce idea.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's exactly that. When I went into it, I didn't really understand e-commerce. I wasn't really, I didn't really know who my market was, what I was trying to achieve. And I've never really invested in advertising it or spending money on SEO, because I've never felt confident that I know what I'm doing enough to invest the money in that.
Cool. So it's been a good starting point then. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And what about Maison Rustic? What site's that one on?
So Maison Rustic was, up until last week, was running on a WordPress, just bog standard sort of site with information about the shop. Mm-hmm. So Maison Rustic sits directly behind Antique Rose in terms of bricks and mortar world. And what we were doing was running all our products in that shop on the Antique Rose shop. So if we wanted to link our customers to a product online, we could at least give them a viewability of that, even though it wasn't in the right brand context. So that all changed last week. We went live with our new responsive site, which has been, I think, about 6 months in the making. Mm-hmm. It's been quite a long process. But I am amazingly happy with the result now. It is so crisp, so clean. It works so beautifully. We're still in soft launch phase at mm-hmm. the moment. So we will bit by bit start to launch that more in the coming weeks.
Well, kudos on actually doing a soft launch, because it's one of the things I frequently repeat to people is live does not mean launch. And so many people assume the second the website goes live, you've got to do all this launch promotion and all the rest of it. Because such a good idea to do that kind of soft launch, beta phase, whatever you want to call it, before you actually go, hey, everybody, look at my website. So kudos for doing that. And what platform is this new super duper site on?
So it's still with the same company, but they have a new responsive platform that they've built and designed. So it's bespoke to them. And again, it's kind of off of a template, but I've had quite a lot of ability to design in and around that and get what I want out of it.
Okay, awesome. And I'm guessing that once the Maison Rustic site is properly launched and you've got through all the teething problems, you'll be rolling that same thing back to Antique Rose?
Absolutely. That's the next project. That's what I'm working on at the moment. And the thing is, it's Antique Rose will be a very similar in terms of its look and feel and its structure, but the actual how it works is going to differ from the existing Antique Rose, because that had furniture and it had everything on it. And now I've got so much more space to play around with. And I want the new website to be very, very focused on gifts and gifting. And that's what the whole sort of niche in and around the Antique Rose website, because that is what the shop is about primarily.
So it'll be a slightly restricted product range compared to what's in the store.
It will be the same product range, but it won't have, is it used to have all the Maison Rustic products on it?
Oh, right. Okay, got you. Sorry.
So it was quite confusing when you were looking at it. There was too much product on there. So it will be a lesser product range, because we've switched a lot of it over onto Maison Rustic. And hopefully that will make it a lot easier to navigate around, to find what you want and to focus it. And I'm also looking at a slightly updated logo and brand that brings gifts into it a lot more, so that, because the history of Antique Rose was originally, I started as an interior design business, and Antique Rose was everything. Then I kind of found that gifts were doing really well in Antique Rose. So I focused in on that. And then I wanted to get back into the home side of things, which is when I opened Maison Rustic next door. So, because I found that trying to sell everything under the brand of Antique Rose just didn't work. It was just too confusing, too much to take in.
Yeah, it's amazing how, you know, you kind of, you just follow the nose of what the customer seems to want, and all of a sudden you find yourself with two stores. So, oh, oops. Yeah. How did that happen?
It's a bit like that. When the one next door came up, it was like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, because it's one of those challenges. Like, oh, how do you split yourself between two physical stores? Well, if they're side by side, it's a lot easier than if they're on different streets.
Yeah, exactly. My business decision was, do I do something different next door, or do I open a whole new shop doing the same thing on another high street? And I decided that actually, although it's more work because it's more products and a lot more to do in terms of marketing and branding and things like that, that is my passion. And for me, at least I can run them, the two shops, quite closely together. And they run sort of as one shop, actually, because the staff can come in and out and help each other out and do a bit of each.
Cool. Well, so that brings me on nicely to our team question. Let's start off with the website then. How many of your team are working on the website, and what have you chosen to outsource?
A couple of the girls, sort of the younger girls who are more IT savvy, have been doing a lot of the descriptions for me. So they're beavering away, getting all the kind of copy done on the individual products, and to a certain extent helping with the images as well. The majority of it is done by me, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Keeping it up to date, going forward, taking products off, putting products on, that's all integrated with our till system. So that's something that I can get the girls in the shop doing in quiet moments. And then now it's built and live, the only thing that the actual company that I that built it do is I'm now employing them to do SEO and helping me along with that sort of side of things. So the actual, we have a content management system, so we can update all our imagery, change all of our homepage, can do absolutely everything ourselves. We've got complete control over that, which is mainly me.
Cool. So you've
between running business.
Yeah, but you've managed to get some of the shop team to be able to do some work on the website in their downtime as such. You're kind of making better use of existing resources in some ways.
Exactly, yeah. I don't, and if we get to a point where it's taking off, then I will obviously employ somebody who, that's their job full time. But until we get to that stage, I haven't got the resources to be able to invest in somebody doing that, you know, 24/7. And as the actual orders come into the shop, they come straight into our tills and the girls pick them, pack them and send them off with DPD. So that's, I don't have to get involved with that.
Nice. So you're running the business, doing the buying, the merchandising, the marketing, those kind of areas, and then you've got the girls looking after the day-to-day customer service, essentially.
Absolutely.
Okay, very nice. Right, in which case, now we've kind of set the scene, let's get into a bit more meat about what you're up to. So I guess the first thing to ask you is, what's the most awesome thing about your two businesses right now?
The website for me is the most awesome thing. This is for the new website going live, it was a glass of champagne moment. It was yay. Even though it's only still in soft launch, it was something I've been waiting to do for a long time and wanting to do for a long time. And it's so important to, when you've got that brand, and we've built a following for Maison Rustic on our Facebook page. We're up to over 18,000.
Wow.
Followers, and it's the brand and what it's all about is so exciting and so on trend, and it's a bit we're like really hitting the point now. People really love this. We've kind of saw it a couple of years ago and have been building it, and now to have a platform to actually show that off and be able to go out to people and say, this is what we do, look, rather than feeling a little bit like, yeah, I can't really point people to a website, it's a bit embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Now I'm really excited about what that then means for that business, how we carry that forward, what I can do, even in the local area to push that shop, because it isn't as well known as Antique Rose. For Antique Rose, obviously the website is coming behind that, but for this time of year, it's all about Christmas. So we are very excited. We have Christmas decorations arriving every day, even though it's only August. Yeah, by the time this goes live, we will be full into Christmas.
And hopefully selling out of those very self-same Christmas decorations.
Yeah, and we are so known in the local area and beyond for our Christmas department. It's as big, if not bigger, than the department stores. We take over the whole of upstairs with Christmas. Wow. The windows, everything. We have a massive Christmas launch with Christmas music in October. And, you know, it's just, you know, live. We have a guy who comes along and sings live, and I make him sing these songs every year. He's like, every year, why do I sing the songs in October? Free champagne. We make such a thing about it, and people just love it because you can immerse yourself in Christmas. And it's starting to happen. So that's the big thing. And if we can then transition that to go live, the new website for Antique Rose to go live at the same time and launch Christmas on there, hopefully we can take that amazing selection of products that we do out to a much wider audience.
See, what I love about everything you're saying about both those two businesses right now, Georgina, is that it is all about the brand, which is clearly all about the customer as well. And you're already thinking about merging online and offline. It's like, if we can get the Antique Rose website launch to tie in with our big Christmas launch, then you get more bang for your buck. If you've got that brilliant Facebook page already happening for Maison Rustique. So it's like, right, that's great, because now we've got people who we know love the brand, but oh my God, now we've got to make sure the website lives up to their brand expectation. So it's exactly. kind of thinking cross-channel already, whilst also making sure that those channels and the customers are keeping you on point, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say. I think that's a lesson all of us can learn from. So having got that first website live, what has been the biggest challenge have you found with that? Has it been product information, photography, copy, the site itself, the store, the team, the people? What's been your biggest challenge for, you know, as a warning to anybody, or an eye-opener maybe to anybody out there who's thinking of following in your footsteps?
The copy and the descriptions and all that side of it is always, you know, you always underestimate it, even when you think you've got it, you haven't. But I think for me, the biggest challenge has been about transferring my vision in my head and what I imagine, and actually getting that into a physical website. Because to try and communicate that to technical people, and I come from an IT background originally before I did retail, but even I struggled with trying to get them to be able to create my vision. And depending on who you work with and the quality of the designer that you have and the companies that you use for this, or even if you're doing it yourself on something like Shopify, is it?
Yeah. Shopify, that's the right one.
And you know, you still got something in your mind, and trying to get that down physically onto a site is really hard. And it was a lot of backwards and forwardsing. And I thought I'd articulated myself really well in the brief, and was very disappointed when I first saw the site. But I worked with them, and they kind of, I don't know what's the word, persevered with me, I guess. But ultimately, I think I persevered with them, because I'm kind of thinking, no, this is what I asked for. So yeah. It was a real challenge to actually eke out. And that took a lot longer than I thought it was going to. I thought, you know, I'll just write it all down. We've done this before. I'll have a chat with you. And I've done loads of research. Surely you can understand what I mean. Mm. But it's like that in anything in business, even with your staff, with anything, you know, you have something in your head and you need to communicate that and get that over, and not everybody sees that, what you're saying.
Especially in the visual sense. Visual and brand and tone of voice and those kind of things are so hard to get across to other people. I think partly because they're just hard, but also because different people think about them in different ways. You know, what someone thinks is kitsch, another person thinks is cute. It's like... Yeah. So even words fail you when you're trying exactly. to do that.
And I think because Maison Rustique sounds very I don't know, old-fashioned almost, like, ooh, but it's not. The brand Maison Rustic is quite a modern take on rustic, and it's all very kind of quite sharp and quite clean, but with loads of natural materials and rustic woods. The website had to be very, very clean and very sharp to show those products off as well and to give them a nice background. You don't want a fussy website, no matter how fussy your brand is, because no one's going to be able to get past the fuss and get to the products.
So, and you've got to give that right first impression. If someone can't grow, especially when it's a brand that's all about design and image, you've got to get that first impression to be the right one. So people go, oh, I like this. These are the sorts of products that are me, not go, oh no, and run away. You know, you've got to give that right first impression. So I think it's certainly something which is going to pay dividends, I would think, getting that branding right.
Absolutely, I hope so.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
So with all that's been going on, obviously getting the website live is only stage one. You can't just put it up and hope you're going to get sales. You've got to start doing the marketing. And you've got your web guys looking after the SEO side of things for you. And you mentioned earlier that you've not been doing as much local marketing as you've wanted to. Are you focusing most of your marketing effort on local activity that will help bolster the site before going national, or are you going national and hoping some of that drips through locally? Is that a definition you've made in your marketing for the site?
I think for me, the marketing needs to be sort of national. The local will then follow inside that, because mm-hmm. it's the local advertising. Will come alongside with, we've got lots of new builds coming, so I'm going to look into brochures and more physical marketing that I can actually give out on that regard. But the national and the local, when you're looking at social media, are kind of very interlinked, because your following will be a bit of both. So for me, it's all about really harnessing your social media following and also our email list as well, which is quite local. So we will probably, the two things, the same message will be for both initially, mm-hmm. and then we'll see where we go and maybe focus that down, and we've got more of a campaign that we might have that's more local to bring people in the local area at a later date.
I suppose, given you're selling furniture that you know you're getting a lot of traction with on Facebook, that is the sort of product, you know, obviously you've got the gift site as well, but on the furniture side of things, that is the type of product that people will travel for an hour to go and take a look at if they like the look of it online, if it's the right piece. So it's going to be, I would say it's going to be quite interesting to work out what local, in inverted commas, is for, you know, you've got kind of the casual local or just pop in for a browse, but how far are people actually wanting to come and look at the product rather than just order it online? Because you're quite close to London, Reading, other lots of kind of big conurbations with lots of people in them. So it'd be quite interesting to work out what that geographic scenario actually is as you build the marketing.
And Woking's going through a lot of regeneration at the moment. It's not the best place to be on the high street. But when that's finished towards the tail end of next year, it's going to be quite an exciting place to come and visit as well. So hopefully there'll be a lot more shops and restaurants and cafes. And it's been voted the best place to live in the UK on numerous occasions by, you know, the Guardian, the Telegraph, all those sorts mm-hmm. of things. So it's a real up-and-coming area at the moment. It's having a bit of a moment to get there, which is part of my drive to get my websites to focus a little bit more nationally. So hopefully we should become a destination in our own right.
That sounds awesome. Okay, before we move into the top tips, I want some extra top tips from you, which are, if you've got a couple of top tips for anyone who's sitting listening to this, who has their boutique, their high street store or their physical store somewhere, they're thinking about doing e-commerce. Maybe they've done, you know, the basic built off the quick launch off the back of the till system that's up there ticking over, but they feel like they want to take it seriously. What would you advise them to do as their first few steps?
Number one, really understand your brand and who you are and what you sell. You know, what you sell on a high street doesn't necessarily equate to the identity that you have online, in terms of, you know, when we sell in a bricks and mortar shop, we'll have a little bit of everything, and we're just that shop where it's got a bit of everything. But that doesn't really work online. You need to know what it is you sell. So that's why I say now we're very much focused around Tick Rose with gifts. That's mm-hmm. And it is what we do pretty much in the shop. But online, that's going to be our identity. It's all about buying the perfect gift. And if you have a bricks and mortar shop, but you don't really, you know, are you shabby chic? Are you modern? What are you? What is it that you represent? Understand that and build your offering online around that, and build your social media presence, build your presence out there, get a following across the board, get some excitement and interest before you then launch into the next stage of pushing the website and getting the website 100%.
Okay, so that was tip number one. Do we have a tip number two?
Tip number two will be, know what you want before you actually talk to your developers.
Oh, such a good idea.
If you write it all down before you speak to them and accept that you will change your mind and warn them that you will change your mind, because you will, when you see things visually, it's not quite what you thought it was. But I think to really just have a clear idea, because otherwise you will go round and round in circles.
And usually that round and round in circles cost you both time and money. So, yeah. But interestingly, before we recorded this, I've just been proofing the section of my latest book, which is already out by the time you're actually listening to this, which is that's slightly screwing my brain. And I've actually been proofing the section about how to brief a website. So,
you see?
Yeah, definitely. Get all the detail down first, but be aware it's going to change. Yeah. If any of you out there want that book, it's called B2B E-commerce Master Plan, and you can find out more about it at ecommercemasterplan.com/B2B. And on that note, I think we're going to go into the top tips round. Before we dive into the top tips, here's a reminder of our sponsor. DotMailer is a SaaS marketing platform that enables companies to create, test and send data-driven automated campaigns, including email. The technology integrates with key business systems such as e-commerce platforms and CRMs, providing access to rich insights in real time, a powerful advantage in today's customer-centric market. Head over to dotmailer.com for a free platform demo or trial. Now, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So, Georgina, first up is the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Do Less, Get More by Shar Wasserland. I read this a couple of weeks ago and I love it. It's a great... it's not necessarily aimed at businesses, but it's full of tips on just how to organize yourself, how to prioritize. And if I was going to write a book, that would be the book that I would write, more or less.
Wow. You can't get better praise than that. Okay. The traffic top tip, which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
For me, Facebook. Without doubt. I'm currently still experimenting with Facebook advertising, paid advertising, but it is a way of creating your brand online, talking to your followers, pulling them in, and then just giving them what you want. We've had one sale 2 days after we launched from a post I put on Facebook, just a picture of the shop with a clock, and someone went to the website and bought it that day. Nice. So for me, but then also email list. For me at the moment, I'm building this, working on this, and doing everything I can to build this going forward and really build a relationship with those people out there who are your current and your potential customers.
Excellent. Okay, the tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
My favorite app, which was introduced to me by a friend who's a social media expert, is WordSwag. Now, this allows you to put words on images. I now use it for all of my flyers. I have made products with it and had mugs printed. Where we are at currently with words on everything, it is amazing. And you can use it for just a quick promo on Facebook, or a saying of the day, anything. It's got loads of different fonts. It's quick and easy to use, and it's revolutionized for me the cost and the time involved to actually create most of my marketing stuff.
Wow, massive recommendation for that one, and not one I've come across. I'll be going and having a little look at that one myself later. Okay, a startup top tip. If you met someone this weekend who's thinking of starting an e-commerce business, what would be your first tip for them?
Okay, first of all, find a niche. Find something that, you know, either nobody else is doing or somebody else is doing badly and you can do it better. And then do it really, really well. Show that you're an expert. Do everything you can around that and start by building your social media presence before you even have your website. Start the brand. Just get the brand going. Identify what your brand is and stick to that brand and just keep building that brand, and the rest will follow.
Excellent advice, and I like the fact it fits in with everything else you've told us today, all the other great ideas. Masterplan World, you can find those top tips and links to all the other things we've been chatting about in today's episode by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast, where you'll see a link to this show. Georgina, before we say goodbye, would you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your businesses on the web and social media?
Absolutely. So the Maison Rustic website is www.maisonrustic.co.uk. We are also Maison Rustic on Facebook, Twitter, everything, Pinterest. Antique Rose is antiquerose.co.uk. And we are Antique Rose Shop on Twitter, Antique Rose Wokingham, I think, on Facebook. But pretty much type in Antique Rose and you should find us on all of those mediums.
Marvellous. Well, I'll add links to all of that in the show notes. You can find those at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast or go to the website, click on the podcast tab or use the search box. Georgina, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. It's been great to have someone who's at such an exciting time in their bricks and clicks journey. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experiences with us. It's been brilliant.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Enjoyed it.
How cool was that to get to speak to someone who is in the midst of really, they've done a lot of experimentation and they're currently in the process of taking their bricks businesses and putting them online, both to support their bricks business and to grow their sales across the rest of the country. I think if one thing comes loud and clear from what Georgina was telling us about, is that brand is important. And if you're in one of those categories where you are selling somewhat of a mishmash of product, you know, you're in furniture or you're in gift and you're selling a wide variety of products and the real differentiator is the look, the edit, the brand. That's what's making Georgina successful, is that she has really, really nailed what each of those two brands is, what they stand for, what they deliver for the customer, how they deliver it, and how that comes into being in the real world and in the virtual world. And I think that's why her e-commerce sites are going to be a huge success and we're going to be hearing a lot more from them in the future. So brand, 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 everybody. Thank you very much for listening today. If you've got any comments or questions about going from bricks to clicks or about building up your brand or anything else we talked about today, then head over to the Facebook group. It's called E-commerce Masterplan World and you can find it via ecommercemasterplan.com/Facebook. I'm usually hanging out in there and we have lots of interesting little chats and help people out and different discussions and swap tools and all kinds of things going on in there. So I hope to see you in there. And please do let more people know about the podcast. Share it with your e-commerce friends, Twitter, Facebook, over a coffee, over a pint, I don't mind. However you want to share the news, please do make sure you spread the word about the podcast so we can get these great lessons and insights out to ever more people in the e-commerce sphere. For now, though, have a great week and keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com.